News Radio KMAN. Good morning. It's now 7:03. I'm Dave Lewis. And, well, with things kind of taking a turn for, well, I guess we could probably say not the better with regards to the coronavirus, we have decided that we are going to go back to at least a two-time-a-week interview with some local health officials and get some perspective on how things are going with their respective efforts. And we're pleased this morning to welcome Ascension Via Christi Hospital President Bob Koppel back to KMAN. It's been a while, Bob.
Yes, it has.
Morning, you know, and no offense, I was really hoping we wouldn't have any more of these.
I understand.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit. You know, we know the numbers have just kind of gone a little bit crazy here with, you know, over the weekend, 180 new cases. And I understand that there are 11 that are getting treatment at Ascension Via Christi Hospital. And I think one of the things I'd like to talk about first, Bob, is how hospital is doing with supplies and staff and rooms and such.
Sure. Well, and actually, a little bit of good news to start the day, Dave. We're actually down to 9 inpatients.
Good.
And 4 PUIs. We did discharge a couple people yesterday who COVID positive, but they're going back to their homes because they don't need to be in the hospital any longer. So that's positive. And that's kind of been our trajectory now for about the last week. Every day we discharge some people and then we admit new ones. So it's kind of, that's why our census kind of has been ping-ponging back and forth between 9 to 11 or 12 positives and then anywhere from 2 to 4 or 5 PUIs at any given time.
With your question,
so things are definitely different than the spring in many respects. From just a supply chain logistics perspective, we've had opportunity to actually stockpile a lot of our personal protective equipment or PPE. And so, you know, that you think back to what we were talking about in March and April, it really was all sometimes a day by day, or do we have enough supplies for the week? And that, at least for us, has been fairly well resolved. We're using a lot. That's also what's true when you have this many patients. And there's been some key medications that and anesthesia agents that were on short supply back in the March-April timeframe. And for the most part, those issues have been resolved. And that, I think that's pretty much across the country. You know, you hear about the medication remdesivir, and I think we still have to learn more about who that's most effective for. But we are now able to actually get that. I wouldn't say easily, but we're able to get it every week, get a shipment, and we're also using large quantities of that. We're going through a lot of that. And so, you know, from just a stuff perspective, we're actually in fairly good stead. You know, the one thing that really hasn't changed, and this is true not only for Ascension Via Christi Manhattan, but across the country, is we were all pushed for staffing support in the spring, and we are still in that same situation this fall. And that really is the key, I think, to any of the organizations being able to take patients. You know, we've had in our region a number of hospitals now go on diversion either periodically or consistently over the last several weeks, and it's all been because of staffing at each individual place. And so that really, again, we watch that very closely. I think as of yesterday, I think we have 8 people that are out. In our case, we're really lucky. They're in all different departments. Where hospitals have gotten in troubles when you have multiple people all from the same department, because that's when that either really trims back your ability to deliver that service, or that's a service that's really needed by multiple other departments. And so not a great thing that we have got the 8 folks out. We're really blessed, though, in that they're just kind of scattered through the organization, and it makes it a little easier to accommodate that.
What about the stress level? And this is one of the things that, you know, we're hearing on the national perspective, that people that are, you know, on the front end of treating the coronavirus, that there's a tremendous amount of stress in dealing with, you know, not just the patients, but their own health and the health of their respective families.
I think it's very difficult to describe to people who don't work in this industry how hard it is for some of our folks. Because certainly worried about the people they're trying to care for, and very, very dedicated to that, very committed to that, wanting to do a really good job. You know, it's difficult to watch people with this disease. We've had multiple people die here in the last couple of weeks, and our staff are always there attending as that happens. So I mean, I think you've got to you've got that those kind of situations that are very, very difficult. I think just the normal, you know, the day-to-day, the wear and the tear. I was up rounding yesterday and talking with one of our nurses. She was working her fourth 12-hour shift in a row. And it's just, there's just physical fatigue and mental fatigue of working with in the environment where you're constantly taking on and off PPE. You constantly have to be worried about what you're doing. Are you, you know, is everything per the protocol to protect yourself, which in turn protects your family when you go home? And so, I mean, I think there's actually a huge amount of stress. On the outpatient side, I talked with one of our community physicians about a week ago, and he just looked extremely tired because they're all working extra hours. They're all trying to keep up. And there's just, people may not understand just the sheer volume of people coming into the primary care clinics now in our community. And it is just physically taxing, much less the emotional strain of all these people you may have been caring for them for years. And some people, again, you know, the vast majority of people are going to have a fairly minor response to COVID, and they're going to be fine. It's just that there is a percentage, and there is a percentage that get much sicker. Those are the ones that are going to end up here at the hospital or a hospital somewhere. And then of those, you know, there's another percentage that are most likely going to pass. And I think it's just that knowing that and seeing all of these people, because as the pool gets bigger and bigger of the people with the infections, the percentage still holds the same. And so if you have an extra 100 people that are positive in the community, we know that that's going to generate X number of hospitalizations and most likely X number of deaths. And so I think that's just the strain to, because the physicians know all this, they can see it happening. And I think, you know, I would just share that there's some frustration on the part of all the healthcare providers that people still aren't kind of connecting the dots here and understanding that we can fairly easily slow the spread and mitigate it if we do simple things and like masking. I think that's very frustrating for a lot of healthcare workers that people just, they're not willing to make that small change and then they wonder why there's bad outcomes.
We're speaking with Bob Koppel, Essentia Via Christi Hospital President and CEO today here on News Radio KMAN. Bob, I believe yesterday I saw something about Stormont Vail in Topeka at capacity or exceeding capacity with coronavirus patients. How is the capacity situation at, well, let's talk about both Essentia Via Christi in Manhattan and also in Waumego.
So we still have been able to absorb the patients that have come to us. Last week, I think we had patients from four different counties as inpatient COVID patients. Over the weekend, we actually took an ICU-level transfer, a patient from around the Houlton area. And that tells you the almost the desperation of some of these community physicians in trying to get their patients into a hospital so that they can get care. To the east of us, all of the large hospitals are definitely under duress. They're either at or past their capacity. And so you had like Stormont yesterday basically go on an entire facility divert. They could not take any more patients. That in our world, in our industry, that's actually a big deal because no one wants to do that. No one ever wants to be in the position of saying we can't take any more patients. But that also means that they've kind of expended every resource that they've gotten access to. And we've already seen that same thing happen actually with one of the hospitals in Wichita and with some of the hospitals in Kansas City. And so this is kind of following a pattern, if you will, because as places get overloaded, they can't do anymore. They can't provide anymore. In our immediate region, I think, you know, our critical access hospital neighbors, the small rural hospitals, almost all of them are carrying COVID patients now. You've got like Abilene and the Clay Center with seven or eight positive patients themselves. I mean, you remember, we have nine. I mean, everybody is trying to do what they can to help care for these folks, but that's also a sign that, you know, the kind of the water starting to rise, if you will. That's why, you know, it's really we've got to take some steps to try to shift this pattern, shift this what's going on, or we will all become kind of inundated with patients. I know in Oklahoma yesterday there was an article about they're going to potentially start rationing care and making very hard choices about who will even be admitted into hospitals.
Oh, goodness.
And, you know, that's one state away, guys. That is that, you know, these are just all these red flags going up. And, you know, I think hoping some people, in many cases, we need our elected officials to take notice and say, what is our role here? Because our, you know, in almost every county, the county commissioners are actually our health board as well. At a state level, it is our House and our Senate and our governor who have got to make changes or choices about what can we do to effectively slow the spread. And, you know, and again, I think I'm an engineer by training.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you always go upstream to solve your problem. You never go downstream because that doesn't solve a problem. You're just reacting. And in this case, the mitigation steps can be very effective. We just had, you know, a lot of folks not wanting to do what I would say are fairly simple inconveniences like masking, social distancing, and good hand hygiene. You know, I was on a call last week, came out who with Dave, but, you know, so on the positive side of all this, we have yet to do a single positive flu test at our hospital this year.
Really?
Unless that's changed in the last day or two. That was as of Friday. That's all because of people in the community washing their hands and masking. That has, at this point, we have effectively not had a real presence of flu, which by November 17th is like unreal. You can see that there's a good positive things come out of just changing some of these small behaviors. And it's just, you know, can we get more of our population to do those things? And that's how we can get ahead of COVID-19.
Bob, just one quick question here before we need to go. And this is sure. Regard to, you know, some of the news over the last couple of weeks about vaccines soon becoming available. Does that give some of your staff and even your patients and their families a glimmer of hope?
So I think, you know, it's definitely a light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, you know, using that analogy. It's still unclear exactly when that will happen. And what we do know is that the quantities are going to be small to begin with. And so, like for patients, that's probably not going to be a very immediate issue, or for the general population. We're still months out, most likely, from that really being readily available. The healthcare workers are actually going to be prioritized. I was on a call about this yesterday, too. The state is not going to receive sufficient vaccine quantities, at least initially, to actually vaccinate all the healthcare workers either. And so there's groups now working on prioritizing who will go first. And do you prioritize some of our most at-risk population, or do you prioritize the workers who would take care of them if they're going to get ill? And I think along with that, there's all these ethical and other questions that we've got to kind of sift through with the state. But, you know, we have been told to prepare for possible beginning of some vaccinations prior to Christmas. We're just kind of waiting to see. Kansas as a whole, we don't tend to get things first because we're a smaller population. And the difference this time around is that we do have really high positivity numbers as compared to the rest of the country. So that may move us up on the list because, you know, typically, as we talked about all the other things that have come out over the last 6-8 months with COVID, Kansas has tended to be towards the end of the line of receiving whatever resource. This might be a case where we actually are moved up the line a little bit just because of the high rate of positivity and the hospitalizations that we've seen over the last 3 weeks.
Bob, we appreciate your comments this morning. We've got to go and take care of some other business, but certainly thank you for bringing us up to date, and best wishes to you and all those in the healthcare field that are doing whatever they can to keep us safe and healthy.
Thanks, Dave.
717, Bob Koppel, Essentia Via Christi Hospital and CEO, joining us this morning on News Radio KMAN.